Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome once again to the Disneyland Resort Podcast. All of us hope you enjoy our unique look behind the scenes at the place where dreams come true. Our podcast will begin momentarily. Thank you.
We have a special attraction. We call it the Blue Bayou Lagoon. People are going to get on a boat here and ride through the lagoon. And then as they get around here, we're going to take them down a waterfall and take them back into the past, into the days of the pirates, you know, where the whole Caribbean area was full of pirates and they were always sacking towns and things. You believe in pirates, of course.
Oh, yes.
Well, now you got into this mess by going down a waterfall. Now, how would you suppose we get them out of there?
By going up the waterfall.
That's right. Anything's possible in Disneyland. Oh.
That was Walt Disney explaining in 1966 how Pirates of the Caribbean would be different from any other Disneyland attraction. 40 years later, that still holds true. Hi, I'm your host, Michael Gohagan. And in this edition of the official Disneyland Resort podcast, we'll hear about the Pirates phenomenon. From the original attraction, which marks its 40th anniversary in March 2007, to the spectacular Disney movies and some new pirate developments on Tom Sawyer Island. We'll be talking to Pirates of the Caribbean movie producer Jerry Bruckheimer about how the attraction has influenced the movies, and to Disneyland Entertainment Director Glenn Kelman, who will be leading the charge, so to speak, when pirates infiltrate Tom Sawyer Island beginning in May. Finally, we'll hear from Imagineer and Disney legend X Atencio, the man who put the words yo-ho, yo-ho into the mouths of the original Pirates of the Caribbean. First, Jerry Bruckheimer. As I ask, with Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland celebrating 40 years, and still this classic attraction remains a guest favorite, when they were developing the movies, what was it in the attraction that helped to inspire the film?
I think everything about the attraction. I think, you know, every piece that was a set piece for the ride became something in the movie, one way or another. So even the skeletons that were on the ground kind of inspired the fact that Barbossa turned into a skeleton in the moonlight. You know, he had to return a treasure rather than steal a treasure. So all it kind of germinates from that particular ride.
The Pirates movie franchise will no doubt be a classic in 40 years. What is it about Pirates of the Caribbean story that keeps people coming back for more?
You know, I think it's such an intricate plot and such rich characters and such unusual characters that you haven't seen them before. And that's what makes it fresh. Don't forget the pirate genre was dead forever. And the fact that this ride and these characters recreated a whole new thing for filming for all of us to enjoy. Pirates now are in. Every costume at Halloween was a pirate costume. So this great period of our history, of our world history, is now back with us in present day, thanks to Pirates of the Caribbean, both the movie and the ride.
How do you think your movies and the attraction complement each other?
Well, it all started with the ride. That's where the idea came from Dick Cook, who decided to make a movie based on this ride. And then we go ahead and create a story based on what we saw in that particular ride. And, you know, Elliot and Rossio and the rest of our writers came up with these wonderful characters and wonderful set pieces, and it all germinated from back at Disneyland.
What's it been like taking a historic Disneyland attraction and translating it into a story on the big screen?
Well, you know, it takes a lot, I got to tell you. I mean, a lot of brain cells are all over the floor right now based on the fact that we had so many people working on the project, from our director, who's brilliant, to our writers, to our production designers, to our editors, our entire cast and crew, our animators, the fact that we created these wonderful characters like Davy Jones in the second movie and Barbossa in the first movie and now Tia Dama in the second, third movie. So we have all these great, great, wonderful characters that are going to live on forever based on the DVDs, whatever future technology is out there.
After attending so many Hollywood premieres, I got to ask, what's it like to have a premiere at Disneyland?
Well, it was an amazing experience. There were so many people there, but so many avid fans. The second movie, we had an enormous premiere for the first movie, but the second movie outdid it. I've never seen so many people wait so long in line just to get to see Johnny Depp and the rest of our cast. That was a real thrill for everybody there. And then, you know, the scope of the production that Disney put on, the fact we had a screening outdoors, the fact we came in on a pirate ship, All these things kind of added up to being a wonderful experience for everybody. The one thing I want to add to that is we got to ride on the Pirates ride as many times as we wanted, and that was the best part of the evening for me because I'd already seen the movie, so the fact that I could keep going back on the ride was a lot of fun.
Is there anything you'd like to tease about Pirates of the Caribbean 3?
Well, it's a continuation of our characters. It's the end. It's the trilogy. It's the quest to find Jack Sparrow, whatever happened to Jack Sparrow. And each character has their own agenda. Orlando Bloom wants to find his father and free his father. Kira wants to be with Orlando, and Johnny wants to be free. So it's their quest.
Okay, I am pleased to be joined by Glenn Kelman. So first of all, Glenn, thanks for joining us today.
Well, you're welcome. It's great to be here. It's a lovely day out on the sailing ship Columbia.
Well, that's right. And actually, first of all, what is it that you do here at the Disneyland Resort?
Well, I am a senior show director for entertainment, so I work throughout the resort helping bring the lands to life.
And today, why don't you tell everybody where we are today?
Well, we're on the sailing ship Columbia, and we're right across from Tom Sawyer Island. And from here, we can see where the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction is. And coming this summer, the two shall meet.
So now, I notice there's a lot of work going on out here. So what exactly is taking place?
Well, you know, it all started back because Walt Disney just loved pirates. He was enthralled by them. And if we look through our archives, we see that the original rafts that were designed to go from New Orleans to the island had pirate flags on them, skulls and crossbones. And that was because Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn loved to pretend to be pirates. And there's a whole section in the book where they give themselves pirate names and they seem to have discovered treasure. Well, in the great what if of Disneyland, the what if is, what if Tom and Huck really discovered some treasure? Well, pirates from all over the world, including our Pirates of the Caribbean attraction and the world of the Pirates of the Caribbean film series, they've all gathered, and they are gathering on Tom Sawyer's Island at Pirate's Lair to see if they can dig up some treasure.
Well, just from the looks of it right now, it looks like there's a lot of digging going on.
There is a ton of digging going on, because what's going to happen is our guests will be able to take part in this adventure. They're going to come onto the island, and first thing they're going to meet is a pirate who's going to give them a map and try to persuade them to give him some of the treasure that our guests find. And he's going to give them pirate names, and you're going to take off on an adventure where you're going to be able to discover treasure within the caves and the catacombs and on other parts of the island. You can see where pirates have been digging up and burying treasure everywhere they went.
Now, am I still going to approach the island in the same fashion I did before?
Absolutely. You're going to get onto a raft and head on over. This time, though, at the front of the island, you're always going to see some pirate activity. You've got the pirate Lafitte has a tavern there, and you hear sound constantly coming from the tavern. And the pirate band comes out, and they are cursed to sing, "Yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me," every time a certain ship's bell is rung. So they're going to sing sea shanties that will be inspired by our guests, and they'll sing about our guests. They're going to learn how to be a pirate. They get to take a pirate oath, and then in the great tradition of pirateering, they're going to become involved in a swashbuckling adventure featuring none other than Captain Jack Sparrow.
Well, now this sounds like quite a different adventure than I've had in the past over on the island.
It's true. We're keeping the same wonderfulness of the island and the fact that you get to climb and explore and go through caves and be very, very active. And on the back of the island, you can turn a wheel that lifts a treasure chest out of water, and you see that a skeletal pirate is hanging onto the bottom of the chest. Or you pump water out of a sunken ship, and you see that there's treasure beneath it. So there's all sorts of activities to be done. And we add on top of that interactive elements where you get to interact with actual pirates who live on the island and who are searching for treasure.
So now, when you come to a project like this, how long ago does the planning for this start?
Well, the planning probably for Pirate's Lair probably started soon after the second movie came out. And everyone realized that pirates are going to become synonymous with Disney characters, and especially our pirates from our attraction and from our film, who are unique in the pirate world. So it begins then, and first we decide on where and what atmosphere we want to create our pirates to live in. And then once that atmosphere is set, then I get to jump in with my great team of writers and designers, and we get to begin to design who they are, what their backstory is, why they're here. And the most fun thing has been how our pirates respond to the, as they refer it, the land of Disney. You see, they think this is a cursed land because they've seen chipmunks the size of grown men. And they think that cameras force you to relive your past over and over again. And they think that's just horrible. So the real fun has been in figuring out how these pirates react to our guests coming from a very unique world.
Well, now, you know, we've got the 40th anniversary of the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction, which is, you know, an immersive experience. You get to go through it. But now this is really an opportunity for, say, in my case, my boys to come and really interact with those pirates on a much deeper level, I guess.
Well, you know, when we started on our Where Dreams Come True message, it became apparent to us that this is a place where you not only watch a story come to life, but you participate in it. And so this is truly a place where you get to step into the middle of the action and get to become part of a pirate adventure.
Now, we were also talking a little bit, and I thought it was kind of interesting, I'll have you share it, kind of the difference between the planning stages that maybe Imagineering does and WDI and that of the entertainment function.
Well, if you look around it at Disneyland, you know, the original Imagineers were designers for the movies, and they designed the most brilliant sets in the world. And it's our job as entertainment to populate these very realistic and yet fantasy-oriented environments with actual living, breathing people. And so whether it's pirates who have to come to life in this new environment of Pirate's Lair, or cowboys who live in Frontierland, or the princesses who live in a castle, that's what entertainment does. They really bring the land to life after Imagineering has created that environment for us.
Now, of this project as a whole, is there any one particular element that you're particularly pleased or proud of?
Well, I'm glad we're going to get to shoot off some cannons. That is always fun.
That's always a good day when you get to shoot off a cannon.
It is great. And as a matter of fact, our pirates are going to have fun trying to see if they can shoot down the Columbia and the Mark Twain. Now, they know what the Columbia is, but the Mark Twain is some mystical white riding vessel that spouts fire and steam, and they're really after that. So it should be fun to see the pirates trying to shoot down our ships.
So now, Glenn, when can we expect to be able to experience this?
On May 25th. May 25th is the date that we can get onto the island and see what the pirates have been digging up during all this time.
Well, great. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to share this with us again. It's always great to have you on the podcast, and it's always fun to go find out what's going on here at the resort.
Well, it's great for me because it's a pirate's life, and I enjoy living it.
Well, great. Thanks again.
We plunder, we rifle and loot, drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot, drink up, me hearties, yo ho.
We extort, we pilfer, we. Well, I am joined this morning by Disney Imagineer Exitencio. So, first of all, X, thanks for joining us.
Happy to have you.
Now, many people will know just by your name who you are, but tell me, first of all, when was it you first came to work with the Disney Company?
I came in 1938. I grew up in Colorado, small mining town, Walsenburg. And when I graduated high school, I decided to come out to California. Actually, I had applied for a scholarship at Denver University, and I didn't get it. So I came on out to California. I had relatives here, and fixed somebody I could sponge off of. Started art school at Chouinard Art Institute. Teachers we had there all had night classes at the studio for the animators. At the end of the semester, they suggested that we get a portfolio together. We'd take it out to the studio and have a critique. A couple of weeks later, I thought, well, I'll go out to the studio and see if I can get a summer job to make tuition money. Well, when I got there, I ran into three other fellows from my class. We're called into George Drake's office. He said, we are interested in your work. Would you like to come to work for us? Holy Toledo. Summer job idea just disappeared. I lived about 3 miles from the studio at that time. I ran all the way home. I've got a job at Disney. And that started my career. And so there I started at $18 a week.
One of the reasons we're here speaking with you today is we have the 40th anniversary of the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction. For an animator, how did that project come to be something that you got the opportunity to be involved with?
That's very interesting. We were working on a little short subject, Bill Justice and I, on doodles, and Walt was a great doodler, and we thought I'd make a little short subject about it. After about three meetings, we just couldn't get a handle on it, and Walt said, I don't think you guys have it. We'll just see what else we can do. Well, the next day he called me up to his office and said, you know, I've been wanting to get you to Imagineering, and it was Witt Enterprises at the time. Now's a good time for you to go over. And I said, well, whatever you say, boss. But every day I'd go by the studio on my way home and literally get a tear in my eye. It's so hard to leave the studio with all the comforts and everything to Imagineering when I didn't even have a desk. The girls in the model shop got the carpenter to whip me up a table with sawhorse and plank of plywood, and where's my office? Well, it's right here. This is it. I got there, and nobody knew what I was supposed to be doing, including me. About 3 weeks or so, got a call from Walt. He said, I want you to do the script for the Pirates of the Caribbean. So I'd never done any scripting. I'd done storyboarding and all that stuff, all the drawing end of it. So I said, okay, again, here we go. I put on my pirate hat and dug out the old film of Treasure Island, I think it was, to get the feeling of the jargon, you know. So the first scene I picked out to work on was the auction scene. Mark Davis and Claude Coates had mocked up the whole ride in miniature so you could walk through the ride and see what was there. And I went through there and I did the first scene of got the feeling of a vast hair mateys, you know, all that jazz, and sent it over to Walt, and he said, that's fine, keep going. And so I did. One by one, got all the, each scene, you know, and at the end, I think our last story meeting, Walt came over and went through with Walt, and I finished. I said, you know, Walt, I think it'd be good to have a song in this show. I had a melody in mind and a lyric. I didn't have the complete show, the complete ride. So I half sang and half recited it. And he said, that's great. Get to do it. Get George Bruns, who was our musical director at the time, to do the music for you, and we'll put it in. And there I got a whole career change from animation, from drawing to writing and to songwriting, you know. After that, every show I wrote, I put a song in it. And so that has been a tremendous success, obviously. Look forward to me putting my song into the film that I've done. And they did in the first show with Little Dirt on the Deck singing, yo-ho, yo-ho. But they didn't in the second version. So I don't know what they're going to do in the third version.
Well, now to see Pirates of the Caribbean be taken to the big screen, what's that like for you?
To see the popularity of the film is magnificent, you know. And when I went over to the stage one day to meet Johnny Depp and got to talking to some of the other pirates, and they said, you know, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be doing this. That was pretty ego-busting, I'll tell you. Just have all these guys thanking me for my contribution to the Pirates of the Caribbean. And to see it grow as it has into such a popular thing as it, you know, it just blows my mind. And just, and as I say, what it does for the ego is something great. The things that I've contributed at the studio in animation in a small way, And now in as a songwriter and scripter, this is really the crowning achievement. So,
now, I have to ask, what was it like to have, as a boss, Walt Disney?
That was the most magnificent part of my career there, is working with Walt Disney. And after he died, and I told the younger guys, the greatest thing that I had was working with Walt himself.
So on the anniversary of the attraction each year, do you hold a little birthday party for it?
All I can say, avast there, mateys. You come seeking adventure and salty old pirates. Sure, you've come to the proper place, is I. Hey, are we going to wish the adventure a happy anniversary? 40 glorious years.
Well, perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearties, yo-ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearties, yo-ho.
Wow, what a great privilege to speak with X. You know, nearly 315 million Disneyland guests have experienced the attraction since its opening in 1967. And the celebration of the Pirates of the Caribbean 40th anniversary coincides with our Year of a Million Dreams. And to date, we've given away over 400,000 dreams. Next month, we'll take you to Disney's California Food and Wine Weekends, which begins April 27th. We interview Michael Jordan at Disney's Napa Rose Restaurant, and you'll learn about the California fine wines and culinary treats featured at the festival. For more information, visit Disneyland.com. And as usual, if you've enjoyed the podcast, please share it with a friend. And also, don't forget to leave some feedback on the iTunes podcast directory. Until next month, this is your host, Michael Gohagan. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
On behalf of the entire cast of the Disneyland Resort in Southern California, we thank you for listening to our podcast and hope you'll join us again next month.